Previously on the TK Jingles podcast.
Two new features on the website. You can now go to a jingle detail page and there are left and right arrows.
Oh, that was the wrong clip. That wasn't actually very scary at all. Last week on the TK Jingles podcast, this happened.
Hold on a second, there's somebody at the door.
I think this is the right clip.
Hello, who's there? Oh, wow, you know, Jason Fuse was in town this week, and I guess he just decided to drop by my house at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
But it wasn't all fun and games, as you might expect. Things quickly took a dark turn.
Oh, no, stay back, no!
And now, TKJingles.com is proud to present Nigel and Friends. Oh, we're not doing that this week. Jason and Rob.
Oh, God. Oh, he puked all over himself. Look at that.
No, I'm not looking at that.
We don't need to clean this up, do we?
Heck
she
no.
Paid you to hit him with a brick, not clean up his bodily fluids.
Yeah, I'm out.
Oh, that looks like a piece of meat on his cheek. Wait, was that a hamburger?
It's Jerry's computer. Look, man, he was working on the podcast already. Hey, look, Jerry was already working on the podcast.
Oh, dude, can we record a podcast? Come on,
No, we gotta go.
Come on, this would be like the ultimate podcast. I mean, like, not the greatest ever. I mean, like, literally the last one because he's dead.
Okay, I guess. How long would it take anyway?
It couldn't take that long. He's not that talented.
I would have no idea. I've never actually listened to the show.
Well, I should, yeah, I've never listened to it either. I shouldn't say that.
Well, where do we even start then?
What else does he do besides jingles? It's gotta be like songs, right?
You mean like music songs, right?
We need a song.
Oh, well, I am a musician, so I can handle the guitars
we get it. Like, you make a lot of it. We listen to the podcast, filibustering, hello.
And, well, I mean, the question is, can you write the lyrics?
Well, that depends. Do you want lyrics you can compare to other people, or would you like ones that you cannot compare to other people?
What does 15 minutes give me?
Have you read On the Brink?
Jerry was a friend. Yeah, I know he was a good friend of mine. Well, I guess he's a woman acquaintance. I should probably clarify. Actually, the truth is that I barely know the guy. And he's big laughing at song lyrics. And he's on his side horse about evergreen jingles. And he's lying on the floor in a pool of his own vomit. You know I'm really glad that Jerry's dead.
Welcome to the TK Jingles podcast for the week of, well, Jerry's last week on Earth. We're your hosts, Jason and Rob, and we're glad you're able to join us today on this very special episode. This is a podcast about songs from TKJingles.com, I'm guessing, because I've never really listened to it, and I don't know for sure. So let's start the show.
Okay, now what?
What? What do you mean, now what? This is your idea to do this podcast. Don't you have any content?
Where would I have gotten content? We just killed him 20 minutes ago and wrote a song.
Okay. We got Jerry's computer. Let's look and see if there's any files on it.
All right.
Okay, here's one that says Steve Segment.
Oh, God, that's not Steve Lipton, is it?
Probably. What's wrong with that?
Oh, my God. Have you ever, you download the podcast at noon, mm-hmm. and maybe you go to the website and you see like what the mailbag theme is, whether your song got played or whether they play whatever, and then Steve's got like three jingles already posted from the news stories Kevin did in like the first hour.
I'm just dropping
like
this
that.
Thing in, man.
I mean,
let's go.
Does the guy even have a job?
Pay attention to the bad rhymes and the broken tone. Some call my voice quite imprecise. My vocalizing is offensive. Welcome to the podcast. No, to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Steve Lipton from Springfield, Virginia, in today to host a segment of this week's TK Jingles podcast, featuring music found on tkjingles.com. We are brought to you today by the folks at CareSec and Blue Cross Blue Shield, who invite you to live fearfully. Be it the animal revolution, flying, or how to work a smartphone, the people at CareSec at Blue Cross Blue Shield remind you that there is always something to be afraid of. With that out of the way, I'd like to begin by thanking Jerry for giving me the opportunity to do this segment. I've been begging him for... What I mean to say is Jerry's been waiting for me to contribute a segment, and he couldn't be happier about it. Yeah. In all seriousness, TK Jingles has become an important outlet for me. The community has been so welcoming, and jinglers are always willing to work with one another to collaborate. In fact, when some folks heard that I was working on the podcast, they were all too happy to give me a hand. So first up, we're going to hear a short piece from KJ.
Hey, y'all. KJ Onsted here, coming to you live from Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, man. What? Oh, yeah, back to the copy. You're listening to a special TK Jingles podcast segment by Steve Lipton. Wait a minute. Steve Lipton? Steve Lipton? Come on, man. I mean, what are we talking about here? You drag me down here, tell me we got this great copy for what? We talking about podcasts? Podcasts? We talking about podcasts? Podcasts? And Steve Lipton? Shit. Come on, man. Get me out of here.
They love me. They really love me. Now, if I only gave you extra content from KJ, it would be enough. However, this podcast will also bring you portions of the Tony Kornheiser radio show never before available to you. Now, I wouldn't go looking for it on the ESPN 980 archives because I think Nigel was asleep at the wheel this particular broadcast and it just didn't get saved. It was the day I was in studio when Mr. Tony himself called me in for a quick interview. Here it is, exclusively on the podcast.
Steve Lipton is here. Take a microphone, because I need to ask a series of questions.
Great, Tony. It's truly an honor to be invited into the Bagel Nation studio today. Nobody pays retail anymore because it's where you live. Thanks for having me.
This will show how stupid I am. How long would it take you if you had lyrics written for you or you wrote your own lyrics and you went to the basement to do the song? How long would it take you to do?
You know, if I work really hard on a jingle, I could crank it out in maybe 6 or 8 hours.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it, Tony. If I have a couple songs to do, you know, maybe I can get it done in 12 hours.
How many instruments will you typically play when you do this?
I play guitar, bass, and drums, and I make sure to put a live sousaphone on each and every track I do.
But how do you do it physically? Let's say Kirsten and you are going to do a song together. You're not in the same room.
Well, that distance you'd think would be a problem, but I hope I'm not giving away too many secrets, but I live in the cave right next to Batman. So let's say I'm ready to do a song with Kirsten. I just call Alfred and say, hey, is Bruce Wayne using the Batplane tonight? And if it's not in use, I'm on my way to Minnesota. I mean, gas and tolls are on me, obviously. Now, the only thing is, Batman gets super pissed if you don't put the seat right back where he left it, because his ears on his mask get scraped on the doorframe if the chair is too close. But really, that's a small price to pay.
I'm going to shift gears completely. I introduce the songs by Steve Lipton in Springfield, Virginia, because his lyrics slay you.
You're too kind.
I mean, he's got lyrics of E.L. Doctorow in a novel, don't you think? I mean, it's sort of amazing.
Oh, you're way too kind. I would think you were talking about the great words of Jerry Negrelli or someone like Robert Berg.
The incomparable Robert Berg of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah, those guys are good. I mean, little Steve Lipton from Springfield, Virginia, well, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about my writing.
The lyrics don't have to be like that all the time. But what Steve Lipton, it seems to me, can do is he does these epic things. Yeah. And they're song parodies.
Yeah, they are. They're song parodies. I mean, they aren't Lennon and McCartney.
It's not Lennon and McCartney. But the things are great.
More like Weird Al.
Yes, it's more like Weird Al, but it's sort of better.
Oh, you're too kind.
We actually have a Steve Lipton song that was just sent in to us, and here it goes.
Hit it.
Don't make out with her, that Buick's gone.
gives me chills. This is so great.
Go on. Go on.
Well, your singing is gorgeous. Everybody on this show is continually amazed at the quality of the songs, the turnaround time of the songs, the relevance of the songs, and the talent. That's how we look at you. We think this is just amazing. So thank you for coming to the show.
Oh, you're welcome. You got any extra salmon?
Uh-oh. That sound means it's time for a schwitz break.
Hey, no particular guys. I like the sweat they get with. I just want your extra steak in the schwitz.
1-877 Steve Lipton. STVL Steve Lipton. 1-877 Steve Lipton. Hey, that guy didn't invent the tea. You know, when I met Steve at the Jingle Fest, it was really great. I mean, he's a funny dude. He sings okay and stuff, but I thought he invented Lipton tea. I mean, I don't know anyone else named Lipton, and, you know, it was a little disappointing.
Disappointing? Shad, that is a word that gets bandied about quite a bit when folks are talking about me. But I'm not disappointed in this next song, which is inspired by Elliot Oshansky's call for a Bruce Springsteen song to commemorate each and every Redskin game of the year. With this one, I managed to stay nearly on key as I lamented the Skins-Pats game.
Well, the Skins were just outclassed. Belichick and Brady ain't no fools. Pats were up 14 points in 3 minutes, baby, like they were scrimmaging a high school. Though they showed some promise, came back on tempo, remember. Don't misconceive, baby, the Skins are not contenders. The receiving core bundles perfect strikes like their hands were condemned. No reprieve, baby, not contenders. No belief, baby, just pretenders.
All right, boys and girls, don't adjust your dials, because you don't have a dial. You're listening to a podcast.
And Schwitz break.
We'll eat ribeye semi-nude, hanging with some dudes, and we'll go schwitzing.
Wow. Now I could really go for a nice steaming steak. I think I may have to call my cousin Sam Lipton, who lives in Cleveland, and see if he can get us a reservation. While I'm doing that, I'm going to play you two more songs. During the news one day, Nigel told us about Monkey University and how one monkey killed his owner by hitting him on the noggin with a coconut. This prompted me to record a parody of Beauty School Dropout. And Rob Berg left a comment that reads, I didn't even think of doing a monkey song, but now I want to record the Notre Dame fight song with monkey lyrics. Well, he did that, and it's great.
Monkey don't sweat it. Picking coconuts is a bad job, better forget it. You found a big one you could lob. Now your owner's dead, hit him in the head. So funny, but so cruel. It's time you dropped out of monkey school. Monkey school dropout. Monkey school dropout. Go back to the jungle. Monkey school dropout. Go back to the jungle. Monkey school dropout. Go back to the jungle.
Rally order of primates. Mammals known for their big brains. No academic scandals, don't pay players bananas. Rah! Rah! For Monkey University, ere we shall dress in suits and other anthropomorphic moves. Famous alums with thought like Reginald the Town, stay loyal to our school. Cheer, cheer for old Monkey U, hissing at tourists, flinging our poo. Positive reinforcement.
horsemen. Nine means coconuts will rain down from the sky. What though the odds be small or they great? Over leopard, tick, and hyena steak. 260 species strong make up the monkey cabal.
All right, to recap the jingles featured on this podcast today, you've heard the world premiere of Hey Wendy, continuing the spate of Steely Dan parodies. We also heard Not Contenders, Monkey School Dropout, and Monkey University Fight Song. The last song we're going to feature today is spun from the mind of T. Chapel Aldridge. Now, I referred to him as Prime Jingler Number 1, or Pinjo, because he used to call into the TK show in the early days when they used to take calls and jingle with the phone, as he put it, taped to his head as he was playing guitar and singing. He's begun to get the itch again and was kind enough to ask me to put harmonies, air quote harmonies, on his Beatles song, Mock Mr. T.
Jer's gonna get me on the mailbag. Jer's gonna get some jingles out of me. I'll take a tune us old guys might remember. And all it's gotta do is mock Mr. T. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna get some airtime. If they recall me, you can never tell. So I can make up for all the lost time. I'll submit 5 jingles, that sounds really swell. Well, I hope you recognize me on the mailbag. 'Cause then I'll know you like my parodies. My songs can join the emails and the faxes. And all they gotta do is mock Mr. T.
Man, I gotta say, putting together a podcast is hard work. Jerry, I don't know how you find time to do it every week, but thank you for getting it done. As I wrap up here, I just want to say...
Uh-oh. It's time for a Schwitz break.
And I've been taking care of Spansan every day. I've been taking care of Spansan with a stay. I've been taking care of Spansan. It's all mine. Taking care of Spansan. I'm half-dressed all the time.
Yes, Spitz jokes did not die with Jerry's podcasts. In any event, I was just going to spend the last couple minutes of this podcast explaining how I came to jingle. I entered into the Paul McCartney mailbag jingle contest in, I think it was 2013, and I never heard a word about the submission I made, and I thought, well, okay, that's the end of it. Fast forward to last year, and I'm watching the news, and I see a story about a Kornheiser-based parody song about RG3. I think it was Jerry and Candle in the Wind. And I said, what? They're still doing these songs? And the reason I didn't know that they were doing the songs is because I only listened to the TK show live in the car on the way to work. I never made it all the way to the mailbag because I was in work before then. So once I found out it was still happening, I got going. So once I decided to jingle, I kind of decided to make up for lost time, and I'm just going to try to post a song every night. And this is the kind of thing that caused Jerry a bunch of heartburn, because I became the quick turnaround specialist, which is something he sort of railed against last spring. And I understand, especially because I'm willing to write about anything on the show that makes me laugh. News? Heck yeah, if it's funny. Old guy radio? Yeah. And I spent a lot of effort to try to include the background arrangements and recording techniques like double tracking the vocals, stuff that mirrors the original production values of the song. And if it's a crazy screaming song, I'll do it like that. And if it's quiet, I'll try to do it that way. That challenge is fun for me. So I'm going to keep on singing and screeching. KJ once remarked she didn't think she'd ever hear an AC/DC song on TK Jingles. And eventually, they played one of them on the TK show itself. Of course, Tony had to read along with the lyrics for people to understand what I was saying, but that's quibbling. So thanks for listening and laughing along. Who knows? Maybe one day we'll hear some Guns N' Roses.
Welcome to the mailbag! We've got fun and games! Email, faxes, and notes, Jerry, please don't read my name! It's the mailbag! Welcome to the mailbag! I want to hear it read!
I really like that. I'm so proud of that one.
Does he even proofread his lyrics? I mean, it doesn't, like, sometimes they don't even make any sense. Like, he had this one song, he said something about Narasetti decreed you couldn't eat nuts. That doesn't even make any sense. Mm-hmm. And, like, have you ever had a situation where you're doing a song
and
then, like,
we're back.
Oh, that's Steve Lipton. He just oozes charisma. He's like a non-cadaverous Frank Sinatra. That's entertainment right there. What a segment. What a segment.
So what else does Jerry have on these shows?
I don't know. I mean, like, we got to play some jingles.
Yeah, but I don't want to go to the site and listen to all those and scream.
I don't
want to
listen to any jingles either.
So what if we just pick, like, some of the all-timers?
Okay, like a Mount Rushmore.
Exactly.
Like the top
it.
Four jingles,
yes.
Like the most iconic, emblematic jingles.
Right, and I think you have to start with "We Didn't Start the Fire." I mean, come on.
Oh, that absolutely.
Yes.
That absolutely. That's number one. That's your George Washington, right?
Totally.
There.
Totally.
All right.
What else do you think?
Oh, we got to do the Carvel one. The
oh, I hear
Patrick
the Cajun
Moffitt's.
Coming. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. That's your Lincoln right there.
Definitely.
All right.
You're talking about presidents, right?
Yeah, that's Mount Rushmore. Oh. It's in South Dakota.
Oh.
Like, it's not just a metaphor. Like, it's actually a place.
Yeah, I knew that. Okay. So, number three? Is that what we're on?
Number three. Yeah, number three.
I'm going to say, what do you think about Paint It Black?
Oh, God, yes. Yes. You mean the David Aldridge one?
Yes, the first in-show intro for a guest.
Was that the...
Iconic.
Are you serious?
Yes. Well, I mean...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That is definitely on. Absolutely, that's on.
So what else?
Fitzpatrick sings that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we need a fourth song. So we got a Jerry song, a Patrick song,
right?
A John song.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what about KJ, Brad, Joe?
Stands
out from them?
Podcast that Carly Simon one's really good.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I like that Rich Otter's Ebola song.
Yeah, that's good,
I mean,
too.
That's,
yeah, man.
What
about a Joe song? What about Trots?
Oh, it's got to be Trots.
Yeah.
It's got to be. They play it like every month it comes up for a couple weeks.
Dude, that song
it seems like,
is going to have a longer lifetime than Trots is as the actual coach of the team. They're going to be playing that song after he's gone.
They're absolutely going to be playing that song after he's gone.
Yeah.
And a hockey coach is only last like 3 years.
No kidding.
So, I mean, he's going to be out in the browse about, and Nigel's going to be like, you know, press the Trots song. All right, that's it. That's the four.
Done.
We Didn't Start the Fire. I Hear the Cajun Coming. Paint It Black. Trots.
I'm in.
All right, dig it. Roll them.
Bill Ahecka, Mike, and Burke, tell me how you get to work. Sticker me 4-2 chance haiku. Littles cover Gary song, sponsored by Diamonds. Wedding invitations, what's your neighbor do? Josh in Moselle, Miss Ivy, who the goddess? Neil in Rockville, Hitler stamps, paging Dr. Mike. Radio for old guys, Will Barnes, not surprised.
You're out on your bike tonight, everybody do it wide.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Now he got your emails, faxes, and notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag, and he's gonna read some for all your folks.
Window Nation, Bagel City, Wendy Rieger is so pretty. Sinkholes, caps, choke, don't bet with Gene the Greek. Junior wants a little money, chimpanzees and baby monkeys. Kelleher, sneak peek, don't guess on PTI this week.
Liz is down in Jungle Land, Under Armour lap bands. Gary's in Kabuki stand, Tori drives a bus. Geffer Phobe, save the dates. Kevin S. prognosticates. Windhurst, Livingston, what'd you eat for lunch? Smith's Verluga, Bob Ryan, David loves American. Do you know who I am? A real important bald man. Weasels run, Snyder Station, shovel type situation. End the podcast delay, what else do I have to say?
Here comes Tony's mailbag. He has supper at 5 and he's asleep by 8. Here comes Tony's mailbag, and he'll be back again after Labor Day.
Here comes Tony's mailbag,
it's a local show with worldwide appeal.
Here comes Tony's mailbag,
Tony's awfully old, but he keeps it real.
coming. I know just what he'll say. He's betting on New Orleans. You're damn right, it's a double play. Well, Carville's such a badass. He hates the TSA. He just pulls out old Greg Oden, and he is on his way. When the Cajun's on the radio, you gotta listen close. I'm pretty sure he picked A&M, but no one really knows. And he can swing elections. Yes, he is taking names. If you f*** with James Carville, you're going down.
Check out these standings. He's in the man, they call him Trots, Trots, Trots. Do we win on a night like this? At least a tie, we must persist. We now got a coach, the greatest in the land. So we go win, 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 win. Yeah, we win, 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 win. Barry Trots, Trots, Trots. We got Trots, Trots, Trots. Oh, no. Stanley Cup.
Okay, now what? We need like one more chunk of content.
Yeah, I got nothing, man. I guess
I don't want to do any more songs.
Oh, okay.
That was it. Those are the Mount Rushmore jingles. We're not following them with anything.
Very true. All right. Let me check out his computer, see if I can find anything else.
All right.
All right. Here's a file that says Joe Show Visit Recap. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Let's use that. I mean, that's got to be way better than Steve's.
Hey, everybody. It's Joe Arrow with a little special addition to the podcast this week. Jerry had asked me, and I believe also Jason, if we could share a little bit of info on what happened when our trips to the studio in Rockville for the TK show. Mine was on Wednesday, the 11th of November. I believe that was Veterans Day. It had been in the works for like a year. I remember talking to Nigel last year, right around this time, and I was asking what would be a good time to come visit because I had never been. And at the time, it was probably in the middle of November, and he said that it was really busy with the holidays and days off. Tony's always taking his days off. And he said, we'll keep it on the back burner for now, but he told me we'd figure it out. But I stopped asking. I didn't ask anymore. I didn't want to be a pest. And then I guess it was the beginning of October this year, I emailed Nigel again. And I talked to him on the phone a lot because I listened to the Sports Fix after Tony. I listened to Kevin and Tom on the Sports Fix, the Sports Chicks. And I usually call in when, like, it's a Redskins topic, and I usually call in to give my point of view on it. And Nigel, Mark, always answers the phone, and he knows my voice now, I guess, and we always chat. And one of those times in early October, I said, you know, I still want to come see Tony and the gang do the show. And he immediately told me that I think the date was the 11th of November, and that was the date we settled on, and it was perfect. I didn't have the day off from work, but I took the day off. And that day, I remember the night before, I was thinking, what am I going to bring? Because everybody always brings a gift to the folks, and I didn't, for the life of me, know what to do. I wasn't going to go buy Triscuits, and I wasn't going to go buy ice cream or anything like that. So I was like, maybe I'll make a mix CD. And a lot of the songs on it are songs or artists that have been mentioned in Old Guy Radio, and some of the songs that I, not songs, but some of the artists I've parodied also on the disc that a couple of them Tony didn't know. But I thought that was a good idea, and I think I did 25 songs, mostly from the 50s and 60s. A few smatterings of newer stuff. Not very much, but I still have an extra disc. I don't know if anybody's interested in a copy of that, but I can make as many copies as I have to. I gave five of them away. Nigel, Tony, Gene, Gary, and I gave a copy to Kevin. Have no idea if anyone has listened to the disc. I sure hope so, but it was fun to do, to put those songs together. So anyway, Mark told me to be there by 8:15 that day, and I used to work in Rockville. I wasn't sure what time I should leave, so I had to take care of my daughter and get her to my neighbor. She usually gets on the bus at 9, so my neighbor actually is a, this is funny, he's an editor for the Washington Post, and he told me to say hi to Tony, and he said he's golfed with him before. His name is Tom, and he said, I don't think he'll remember me. He said he's golfed with Tony and Gino Wong. He's been at the Post for a long time now. Good friends with Barry Zwerluga. Anyway, he's on the bus stop with me every day. He has a son, 10 years old. My daughter's 10. And we always talk about Tony, and he listens to the show, and he's a little. And he put my daughter on the bus for me that day so I could get to Rockville. So I got there, and it was like 20 after 8. I was supposed to be there at 8:15. And they had already started recording an interview with Howard Fineman. He was on the phone at the time live, and they were recording it. And Nigel whisks me in, you know, really quietly, had a seat, used his headphones to listen to the interview. And, you know, I was just sitting there, not saying a word. Tony and Mark both waved, and Gene waved, and, you know, just like, how you doing? They didn't say it, just waved at me. So I sit down and listen to the interview, and then after the interview was over, they really weird the way they, I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I know Jerry said before when he had been to the studio, how they record everything in segments, and it's not what you think. And it's, you know, it's all mostly done before 10 o'clock. So the show opened was after the Howard interview was taped, and that's when Tony was like, Joe Arrow's here, and brought us all these lovely mixtapes. You couldn't hear me because I wasn't on the microphone, but I immediately started cracking up when he called the CDs mixtapes. I was like, people are going to really think. That's why I had to take pictures of the disc, because they're going to think I'm bringing him cassettes or 8-tracks or something like that. So that was funny. And, you know, he said, we'll try to talk to Joe if we get a chance later on. And, you know, the whole time I'm thinking, they're not going to talk to me. So I was just happy to be there and listen and see how it all goes. And, during the breaks, we would talk about movies. I had told Tony that they were talking about Star Wars, and Mark was talking about how he's all geeked up for the new Star Wars movie. And I said, well, I've never even seen any of the Star Wars movies after number one. I was never into it when I was a kid, and I was always a big Trekkie, like the original series, but I never really got into Star Wars. I've only seen the very first one. And that's the truth. And they were kind of shocked. Even Tony's seen... I think he saw all of them. And they were talking about that, and we were talking about the coffee, because I brought in my Starbucks coffee, and they commented on how I was anti-Christmas. And that was the week that story came out about the Starbucks red cup. So basically just small talk during the breaks, and then I noticed they were having an issue getting Sally on the phone. They were trying to get Sally, and she wasn't where she was supposed to be. Tony seemed genuinely pissed at the time, because he was trying to scramble and figure out what to do. And I still didn't have a clue that he was gonna ask me to grab a microphone. But the last chance right before they were to record that segment, they called one more time, and Sally didn't answer. And he's like, Joe, grab a mic. He's like, I just want to ask you a series of questions. I have no idea what he's going to ask and what he was going to ask me. And everybody heard the interview, and I was nervous. I didn't, I tried not to sound it, but I wasn't, it's not like I sat there and thought about answers I was going to give, because I didn't think I was going to get asked any questions. So he asked me about the process, and I answered it. I was thinking after I answered it, that was a stupid answer to say it only takes 15 minutes. It makes me sound like I'm like this big professional when that's what I was trying to come off not to be. Because I think so many people do better stuff than me. And I mean, that particular song, I wrote it in like 10 minutes, because part of it was already done, the song that they played. It was a song that John Quinn in Ireland did last year, and we never got it on the air, and it was always a favorite. But that was the last part, the male part. And I was like, man, I should try to put something together with that for my visit. And it didn't take long to write, and then it didn't take long to record, because I got the song, the tracks already on my computer, and I just sat down. I think I sang it in one take. But when he asked me the question, it made it the reaction, like Gene and Gary were like, oh, wow. Like, wow, you're a professional. Like, so anyway, I felt like I blew that question, because that's not the way I wanted to come off. And I think Jason answered it much better when they asked him on his visit. He explained it like, I wish I could have explained it when I was there. But I was like scrambling to think of how I should describe it. And then... Tony asked about the musicians, because I wanted to make sure I paid homage to the people who actually write and play their own stuff, play their own instruments. And he asked how many people actually do that. And I, for some reason, I blanked out. I could only think of Jason, and I can only think of John Neiswinger. And I met Jeff Negrelli, and I mean, he hasn't done that many jingles, but he was really good at TK Jingles Live, and Kirsten plays an instrument. Steve Lipton, I didn't even know that he played the instruments that he does, and so I felt like I left people out, and I didn't want to leave anybody out. I wanted to make sure I mentioned people, because this is fun. You know, I try to tell them during the breaks how much fun it was to do, and it was like my newest hobby. And then when they asked me... I used to bowl in a league for every, I bowled in a duck pin league every year of my life, once a week, since I was 18 up until like 3 years ago. Then I just stopped doing it. But at least one night a week, I would bowl, never in the 10 pins, just the duck pins, because it's a Baltimore thing. And my dad taught me the game, and, you know, when they asked me that question, it came off like this really funny answer, but I didn't even think about it, really. So, you know, more questions than I thought, and a nice long Sally Jenkins segment. Everybody was super cool, and I would love to go again. I was like, the next day, I was like, man, I wish I could drive to the station again and do it all over. And have my answers come off more the way I wanted them to. And they, you know, they didn't even tell you that you were gonna, that you might be in line to answer questions. And if I hadn't known, I probably would have done a little bit more preparation. But I'm glad they played my song, because that song I've been waiting to hear for a long time. And then the only person I told that I was going to the studio, I think, was Elliot Olshansky, because we talk a lot. Basically on Facebook, we talk on the Facebook chat. And apparently he got in touch with Nigel and said, you need to play the Bee Gees song that we did, because they teased it. They did. They said they were going to play it a while back, and they just totally didn't play it. And I hate that freaking performance. I don't know why he wanted them to play that so bad, because that's just a screeching mess. So thanks, Elliot. I would have rather heard my Bee Gees song from last year, the I Started a Joke parody that I'm really proud of. I would love to have heard that one. All right, so I'm going to wrap it up here. Hope that sheds a little light on my experience at the Tony Kornheiser show. I had a blast that day. I wish I could do it again. I wish I could have done it the very next day. Maybe next time we can have a group get together and go. That would be great. I know that John and John Fitzpatrick and Brad, I think, went together. I just didn't even think about it, because I didn't even know the date until the last minute, so I didn't think of telling anyone except for, like I said, Elliot. And but yeah, I would love to go again one of these days. And I guess that's it. I can't wait to hear Jason's take on his day. I think I left the studio not long after 10. It was probably right around 10:30, on my way home, listening to the replay of the show, getting massive Twitter followers. That's another amazing thing, that whole day and that whole night, cloud nine, because you felt like you were somebody. I think I got like 150 new Twitter people, and I'm not a Twitter guy. I'm more of a Facebook person, but I've been on Twitter a lot since all of the nice reviews of my appearance. I was getting tweets all that day and the next day, so that was sweet. Anyway, that's it for me. Hope I didn't ramble too much, and I have no idea what Jerry expected for this. I don't know if I went over the time limit, but thanks, Jerry, for the opportunity. Now let's get back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Here comes Rob and Jason's
mailbag. Got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes
Rob and Jason's
mailbag. Gonna read some for all you folks.
Dear Jason, I heard you on Tony's show today, and since I know you and Rob are in D.C., maybe you guys could come help me out. I've left a meat thermometer out by the front door. Do either of you know what the carotid artery is?
Okay. All right.
Let's go to some tweets.
All right.
Mark Stern tweeted, I got a bad feeling about this.
Courtney writes, I need something in between these. Chicken pox emoji. I don't know what emojis. I don't understand it. It was like a lavender chicken pox emoji. I don't know how to describe it.
Steve Lipton says, so did I get the job?
Steve Lipton. Okay. Thursday night games are often so awful that the only way I can even get through them is by following at Phil Sims quotes. Hashtag talked about. That's actually, that was mine.
Oh.
I can't stand Phil Sims.
Yeah, well, I know what you talk about when you're talking about Phil Sims, so I get it.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I like the way you did that.
Yeah.
Phil Sims quotes, he actually counts. There's a running tabulation of how many times he says talked about.
Ah.
I think the record is 36.
That's all I got. I don't have anything.
Okay.
Else.
That I don't have anything. Else? No. Let's get out of here.
Done.
Man, this is a lot of work for three people that listen to this broadcast.
We used to like him, but we had to kill him.
I'm on the mend, so I'll be back next week, my friend. This isn't the end, but it was fun to pretend. I probably should have written some lyrics for this part. I really don't know the Doors very well. No, 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 the end. Let's fade it out before it gets